This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Welcome back, listeners.
Hi.
It's been a minute.
2 weeks, Dad.
Yeah.
So we're back, though.
We're here.
Yeah. PhD students got some explanation, Dad. Come on. Like, this is a commitment.
I know it's a commitment, but I'm also committed to a lot of other things.
I know.
But it's good to be back recording and relaxing after your...
Don't you dare mention this. This is the internet. This is professional. This is not family talking time.
Oh, good. Right. Good. Setting boundaries. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, should we...
Are you going to edit that out?
No.
Oh, okay.
Should we hear from our sponsor?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
So what are we talking about this week?
Leave the Door Open by Silk Sonic, Bruno Mars, and Anderson .Paak.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's cool. Apparently on their Spotify bio, it's like Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars team up to blah, blah, blah to create the set list of Doom or something. I don't know, but they have like one single.
But they're putting out a whole record.
They are?
Yeah.
How do you know?
The internets. It's called An Evening with Silk Sonic.
An Evening with Silk Sonic.
An Evening with Silk Sonic. And this is the first single. And it's pretty great.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. What did you think of their Grammy performance?
It was a performance. I hadn't really heard the song yet, so I didn't really have much of a relationship with the song yet, but now we're talking about it, so it's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Silk Sonic, Bruno Mars, and Anderson .Paak. The lyrics are very cheesy, but...
They're funny.
They're cheesy.
They have a reference to Lay's potato chips.
Yeah.
They should be sponsored by Lay's.
Wait, where is it?
If you're hungry, I got the Lay's.
Oh, I thought it was like, I've got fillets.
Fillets.
I don't know.
Well, let's see.
If you're hungry, girl, I got fillets.
Oh, no, you're right. See? Misheard lyrics. The lyric sheet that I'm looking at says fillets.
And you thought it was the Lay's.
I thought it was the Lay's. Which is more funny, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Like, if you're hungry, I got this very specific bag of potato chips. Should we listen to the song and then talk about it?
Yeah, let's hear an excerpt.
Okay, so I'm very excited because I have a new workflow here in the studio that is hopefully going to make our lives a little easier.
We won't have
like music interrupting us all of a sudden.
Yeah, we don't have an engineer here.
Yeah, so.
DIY.
Here it is.
Leave the Door Open. Silk Sonic.
Fade it down there.
Yeah.
So.
It's a cool song. We didn't get the idea from Switched on Pop, but Switched on Pop, our biggest influence, also did this song.
Yeah.
And they mentioned... Oh.
So, yeah, we happen to be doing an episode around the same time as them on the same song, but yeah. we've done that a couple of times.
Try to do it. We'll try to keep it unique.
Yeah.
But they mentioned, courtesy of them, yes, this is not my thinking, that it's cool how the harmonies, so how it's like, it's kind of like a response, like, what's the first line again? Oh, you're so sweet, so sweet. Oh, that was bad, but it's like,
yeah,
so
what you doing?
Oh,
what
yeah.
What you doing?
Yeah, where are you at? Where are you at? I don't know, but they said it was kind of like.
You got plans. You got plans. Don't say that. Shut your trap.
Yeah.
Big
mansion there, East West Wing.
Yeah, so they're using backing vocals in a very sort of classic call and response conversational thing where the backing singers are like having a conversation with the lead singers, right?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Anything to say before we get in?
No. Let's see where your questions take us.
All right. Well, yeah. Okay, so this is kind of a hard to describe question, but you know, I'll just ask it anyway. So in the intro there's like this like really fascinating sound that goes like, yeah, you're not gonna know what I mean by just me doing that. So can you play the intro and I'll kind of keep my mic on, I'll kinda play what it is. And then it goes into an echo. So like what is that sound then? So
it's the
the
descending.
Yeah, almost as if like a ton of pebbles are like going onto.
Ooh, that's a nice image.
Like onto a stream or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
like, what is that sound? Like, is it? I forgot what this instrument is, but it was part of the orph instruments. No, not the orph instruments. I don't know. But in my music teacher's classroom, it was like a. It's got like a ball on the end, and then there's this like. And then you snap it, and then it goes...
Oh, like a flexitone?
Flexitone, I think so.
Those are cool.
Can you maybe Google that? I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not a flexitone.
It's not? Okay.
No.
Well,
I know what this... I can recognize this sound immediately. It's an electric guitar, but it's a
what?
Very specific sound effect being made.
That
on
is
the
not
guitar.
An electric guitar, Dad. It's like... That is, yep. That cannot be an electric guitar. Can you play that again just for our listeners?
Okay.
Come on. Come on, listeners. It can't be an electric guitar. You heard that. It started out soft. It was like... Kind of.
So with amplification and effects on electric guitars...
I just like to question... How is that a guitar?
You want to see me make that sound?
Sure.
I just happen to have my guitar here. But you're going to have to hit a couple things to get it on, okay?
Okay.
So, let's see.
Get up to the mic.
See the switch on the amp over there next to the red light?
My dad's amp right
next
to me.
Yeah, switch that from standby to on. And then press your foot down on the red Boss pedal.
Sorry, my dad's not near his mic right now.
Move this mic over here. So we've got the guitar. Not quite in tune, but whatever. I've got some spring reverb that's just on the amplifier. Definitely in this kind of recording, in this kind of production, which is heavily inspired by like 70s soul, the guitar player would be using that spring reverb. It's probably a Fender amp, just like the amp I'm using. And then there's a delay on there, which is part of why you get that echoey sound.
Yeah, also, I saw you doing that, programming that sound onto your keyboard earlier today. Are you planning to...
No, that's a different sound.
Oh, a different sound.
Yeah,
wow.
So...
Lots of different sounds.
Now, let me put the delay. Whoa, there goes my... Let's add a little more feedback.
We gotta do a bloopers episode where we just include all our outtakes.
Okay, so now what this sound is actually, it's a descending muted high E string being plucked in like 16th note triplets. So it's like a triplet, it's like a tremolo, almost like you would use a tremolo on if you hear like a mandolin player. A mandolin player might play, instead of playing a note like this, they might go. That's a tremolo, so it allows you to kind of hold the note out for as long as you want. And it's usually, if you notated it, it'd be like a very fast triplet, 16th note. So anyway, it's that rhythm, but instead of playing a specific note, which sounds really dorky, it's actually putting your finger over the string on your left hand, so you're almost getting no note, and you're just getting a very muted, flat sound. So you're just getting the texture out of the string and like some of the harmonic overtones that still ring out when you don't actually press the string down.
Okay.
Because you get overtones on strings even if you don't press it down on a fret. I know this is very technical guitar stuff all of a sudden, but
yeah, I'm not sure everyone can understand you on the other side of the phone.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, well, let me just play that sound. Okay, so it goes like.
Oh my gosh, Chad. Can you play the intro for our listeners one more time and then play that again? You hear me?
Yeah, sure.
All right, listeners, if you didn't understand a word my dad was saying or couldn't pick up on the sound I was just talking about, you're going to hear now.
So that's the actual sound.
And that's my dad's version. All right, Dad, enough. You're like all over the place.
You can switch that amp off now. So
stand by.
One reason, this is kind of a diversion, but one reason I'm really pretty experienced at making that specific sound is that Johnny Marr uses that sound in a Smith song that we play in the Sons and Heirs, the Smiths and Morrissey tribute band that I play in. And it's a song. And it's a song called Death of a Disco Dancer.
The only reason why I was like played in was because like it's been a year now.
The way that he uses that sound is very different because the song is slower and it's not a soul song at all. But you have to make that sound in the band. So this is the intro. You hear that sound?
Mm-hmm.
That muted. He's kind of going in and out of playing it as a tremolo.
Death of a disco dancer. Well, it happens a lot.
I never made the connection that, you know, 70s soul directly became and evolved into disco. And this is called Death of a Disco Dancer, and he's using that very soul gesture on the electric guitar. So, anyway, electric guitarists get bored and they decide to try to make different sounds with their instruments, make sound effects. I like that glissando.
All right.
You're like totally zoned out now. You're like, too much technical guitar talk.
No, well, see, you're saying it's like, you're saying that like 70s soul carrying into Death of the Disco Dancer, and in Death of a Disco Dancer, Johnny Marr is using it to as an intro.
Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out what question I should ask next, because I don't know. Sometimes it gets, huh? What?
Point your voice at the microphone.
Sorry, I just, it's weird. I'm like talking to a wall now and I gotta talk to you in a conversation. Like I'm sitting on a couch today. I'm usually sitting in a chair.
Do you want me to move it?
It's fine. Okay. Let's continue.
All right.
Don't call us a ruckus.
All right, next question.
So what would you compare this to from the 70s or 60s? So like what are some of its like older influences?
So I was, I kind of had the same experience that I had the other week when we were talking about the chorus of that Dua Lipa song, where I was like, this sounds exactly like something else that I've heard. And then I started researching and I couldn't really find the exact analog. But I was listening through a lot of Philly soul today in preparation for talking to you about the song, because this song is clearly trying to be a Philly soul song, or trying to recreate or rework both the how it's performed and sung, how it's recorded, how it's mixed, how it looks in the video, especially, or even more than the video, the performance in the Grammys, where they actually recreated like one of these 70s television appearances by these vocal groups. So let me play you some songs that I pulled that felt like very much in the ballpark of this. Not exactly the same.
Okay, obviously an excerpt, right?
Yeah. So, let's see. This is The Spinners. Got that prominent conga.
Yep.
You've got the beautiful strings, and you've got the melody that's played on a mallet instrument. I think in this case it's a vibraphone high up. And then you've got a little modulation into a different key.
Oh, it's modulation.
Yep. This one's probably a little more up-tempo, would you say?
Yeah. The voice, though.
Did you hear that? He goes, that's funny.
Yeah, the vocals though sound a lot.
Yeah.
Each night I pray there will never come a day.
Not so much a call and response with the backing vocals, but
no. But yeah, I see.
But the way it moves through all these chords, really effortlessly. Nice big chorus with the strings coming back in. Let's listen to something else. Here's the Delphonics.
All right, the Delphonics. Cool name. I've never heard that.
This is kind of that slow jam.
It definitely is the vibe.
What you doing?
What you doing? Where you at?
Where you at?
I had a time for every time.
The way he said time. Kind of
yeah.
Dreamed about you.
Oh,
there's the call and response.
Yeah.
I'll tell you no joke. Yes, I'm really broke.
Oh, darn it.
Thank you.
I just realized I forgot to make that song to discuss with your daughter playlist. That public playlist.
You can do that.
Sorry, everyone.
Another.
When you told me
oh.
That you loved
this part really reminds me of the song. Kind of like.
Yeah.
And now you're acting so strange.
Gonna leave the door open. It's like very.
Is this in the same key?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Let's keep going. I've got a few more songs in this Philly Soul playlist here. This is the OJs. Again, like opening with that melody played on the vibes. This one's a little bit more up tempo. This is called Now That We Found Love.
Yeah, this is more up tempo, but yeah.
interplay between the group and the solo.
Let's give it a chance. Let it control our destiny.
You hear that? That's the guitar. Again, playing muted. Electric guitar players in soul funk play very minimally, and they need their strings a lot. All right, let's go to Slow Drag by the Intruders. Another slow jam. Another bell metal mallet melody. Interplay between the lead and backing. Okay, here, this is the Ebony's. You're the Reason Why.
Nice. Falsettos.
Yeah.
I was trying to hum the door open.
Here we go. This is pretty good, right?
What's the vocal similarities? Like the way the guy's singing. Like his voice.
I mean, really wide range, you know? Like going low, going up into the falsetto.
Yeah.
All of these songs that I've played have almost all had the same general food groups of instruments. You know, guitar, bass, drums, some sort of like vibraphone, piano, and then like a string section, some horns, and some backing vocals, right?
Yeah, you're right. These are pretty... So, I see the similarities in all these.
I know I could have gotten this across by playing like one or two songs, but I'm playing so many songs so you can kind of really get a feel for the fact that Silk Sonic is like... They're picking up on what is a really established template. They're not just like ripping off one song. They're ripping off like a real template of songs that dominated soul R&B radio during the 70s. So here's the last one, Jerry Butler, Never Give You Up.
Well, the vibe, yeah.
They always start with like a vibe.
Oh, I was talking about like the feel.
Oh, the vibe.
Not the vibraphone. But yeah, definitely the vibe. I'm looking for the backing vocals.
Well, they got the brass answering instead. And you think if you hurt Listen for the brass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So tell him, never gonna give you up. Whisper in his ear, no matter how you treat me. There's like a term in classical opera singing called Sprechstem, which is like speak singing. They do a lot of that in these soul recordings.
Yeah.
Make it very conversational.
Well, I think Anderson .Paak is a rapper. No, I might be wrong. Never mind.
I know nothing about Anderson .Paak.
I know nothing either. I just Googled him and he's like an American.
You're listening
singer,
to two people who know nothing
rapper.
About this artist.
Well, I know Bruno Mars. Yeah. Kind of. 24 karat magic in the air. I'm a dangerous man for some money if I can get up.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
So you hear the template, right?
Yeah, that was a Kidz Bop hit.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely hear it. It's like.
But they're having.
It's like Google Slides, just like enter your subtitle here and this will be your song, your slides. But like. But you kind of get. But it looks like everyone else's.
Yeah.
With your own little lyrics.
Yeah.
Your own little presentation.
Yeah, the chords and the melody are the original part, but a lot of the arranging, even though the arranging and playing is original, it follows a blueprint.
It follows like the Google Slides theme.
And it's
put
a
your
great
subtitle below part. The title, you yeah. know.
My old band did a little bit of work with this blueprint.
Charming,
yeah.
Charming.
Yeah, do you want to hear it?
Sure.
We did this song, so our bass player, Jay Flat, shout out to Jay B.
Does he listen?
Once I tell him he's been referenced, maybe he will.
Maybe.
So our bass player was really into soul music. And
wait,
is
he the guy with the sunglasses in your photo?
No, he's the guy. He's the second
he's
guy.
He's next to you.
Yeah.
You, Nicole. No, you, Jay, Nicole, someone.
Chris. Yeah. So he was always really into this stuff. And, we used to then, after Charming broke up, we would go out to a lot of, soul revival type shows with artists like Sharon Jones, and then he got really involved in that scene as a musician, as an organ player. But he wrote this song that involved strings and brass. Okay, so,
so.
Let me play this Charming song. We had a little technical difficulty and recorded a bunch and then realized we didn't record it.
Well, we said a ton, and I was on, like, question four already, but...
Yeah, you were brilliant. So, okay, this is a song called Stranger, I Will Never Be a Stranger, by my old band Charming, written by my friend Jay Flat, and...
And you, maybe? Did you write a little?
Not really. It was his song. It was fully written. He brought it to the band, kind of fully demoed out, I think.
You sound so embarrassed. You're like, not really. I didn't.
No. It was always fun to work on songs that he wrote because they're phenomenal songs. And then I could just put on my arranger producer hat. And that's what I did. We knew we were going for this sort of romantic soul, 70s soul template. So
you were, you actually like felt like you.
No, we were. In fact, we were listening to, so this is a little bit tangential to the Philly soul sound. So
I'm sorry, I'm not very intelligent. What does tangential mean?
Like next to or related to, but not exactly in the same direction. Like kind of intersecting.
Okay.
Slightly. So in Switched on Pop, they were talking about like sort of the big cities for soul music in the 70s. And they were talking about Detroit, you know, Motown. Philadelphia, which is what I just played a bunch of music from. And then they also mentioned Memphis. And so this song is probably a little closer to the Memphis style because it really draws from this album, Dusty in Memphis, which is this white soul singer, Dusty Springfield, singing this very soul-infused album. And so that was kind of a similar setup for our band. So let me play it. So slow jam, right?
Yeah.
Just like
you can drive your car far away from
very minimal guitar playing.
You can sail a boat,
big reverb on the vocal.
Across the sea. But I will never be stranger. No, I will never.
There you go, the
be
response.
Stranger.
Call response.
Stranger.
You can climb the top. Falsetto.
Falsetto, harmonies,
yeah.
Luscious strings come in here.
Reminder, this is my dad's band. It was part of this book.
I really loved making this recording.
Yeah.
Horns come in here.
I put a picture in your face.
big brass turnaround. Little trivia, the brass section is actually pulled from a really long-running and amazing ska band called The Slackers, featuring, well, he's not the, one of the horn players, but my old neighbor, Vic Ruggiero. Anyway, so playing this just to show you that this template of guitar, bass, drums, you know, strings, brass, backing vocals is like a thing. It's a trope. And I would even theorize that because it's so well established in our ears with soul music from the 70s, a lot of which is very romantic and is used in film and TV in very romantic situations, that like just by hearing that this combination of instruments in this kind of pacing with these kinds of chords creates a romantic feeling. What do you think?
Very lush and like.
And it's a very romantic song, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Lay's potato chips and.
But Lay's isn't romantic. No. It's also fillets.
Yeah. We've established that for once, you are the right one on the lyrics and I am the wrong one.
Yeah, you actually thought it was the Lay's. You didn't just make it up so we'd have something fun to talk about today.
I think it's funnier to picture him like offering this woman a bag of potato chips. Like, if you're hungry, I got this bag of potato chips.
If you're hungry, girl, I got the Lay's.
So, where are we going next?
We are going to question three.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to have to say this again. I already said it. I gotta say it again. Mm-hmm. With that whole recording thing.
I know.
But this is gonna sound boring, and it's gonna sound boring to everyone and to you. Hopefully, it won't be boring.
But don't make apologies.
All right.
Never apologize.
What if I take your car out? I think I gotta apologize there, Dad.
Okay.
Don't worry, that will never happen. But yeah, so what is the chord? What is the vocal chord progression in this song? It's
what do you mean by vocal chord progression?
Like the way he's singing it, how he's singing it, the key. Is it going like the? I guess the notes. Mm-hmm. Like so, because the reason why I'm asking this is because, excuse me, when you switch from Anderson .Paak to Bruno Mars, it's like, so Bruno Mars goes higher and then Anderson .Paak, and they mentioned Switched on Pop that it's like beautiful modulation.
Yeah.
We know that. But it feels like once you switch from Anderson to Bruno, it feels like that's like the most satisfying part in the song. It's so satisfying. It's like a resolution, more of a resolution than at the end of the chorus or at the pop drop. Or like, it feels so like.
It's
like so tremendous. It's like BC.
Because what happens is it modulates to this new key, so it feels fresh and new. And in the modulation, Bruno Mars comes in with his smooth tone and he's up higher.
Yeah. Can we hear that so they know? So as you know, this is a pop duo, Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars. But when it switches from the verse from Anderson .Paak to Bruno Mars takes the chorus, Anderson .Paak gets the verses. It just sounds so satisfying. Like I said, more of a resolution than it feels like at the end of the chorus. Okay, hear this. Can we play that again? That was really faint in the beginning. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, from a little bit earlier.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of just came out really quick. Okay, so this is Anderson .Paak. Anderson .Paak. And Bruno. Okay, you can pause now. So basically what I'm talking about, I don't know if the listeners are picking up on this also, but it's like, we should be dancing, romancing on the west. Okay, I'll sing the thingy and you sing Bruno Mars, because it's like, it sounds so much higher. Of this west swing, what's happening? And then it's like, I'm playing, like it's so much higher.
goes... Let me just play that again and pick up where, how the modulation works. My pool won't just shake smooth like a newborn. We should be dancing, romancing in the east wing and the west wing of this mansion. What's happening?
Bruno.
So it goes.
You can sing a lot. You can sing. Do you know what keys this is in? The keys.
It's in. I guess it's in.
Sorry, this is probably very boring for everyone.
F. It's like, either in F. Or it's in A minor, if that's the key. But I think it's in F. What you doing? Where you at? Shut your trap. Yeah, so it's just a... There's nothing about E-flat that is, like, intuitive about going there from either F or A.
There's nothing about that. It's just somehow really pretty because it's high and fresh.
Yeah,
and
I mean, if you call this A minor, that is a tritone, which
Excuse
is the
me?
Devil. That's the devil's interval.
Okay, what's a tritone? I've never learned this.
Let's see. Let me pull up a definition here. So I don't get it wrong and get texts from... it's an augmented fourth, yeah. I don't want to get texts from Jason. You got it wrong! No, it's an augmented fourth, which...
I know piano, I just don't speak that so language if you're very in, well. So augmented is basically in like a chord, like a C augmented, you move the G up a half step.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, okay, okay.
So a fourth in A would be... sorry, I'm not playing well. Would be D.
Mm-hmm.
And a fifth would be...
Oh, so it'd be E-flat.
Yeah.
Would be...
Now, do you know that that interval was actually, like, illegal?
Illegal?
Yeah, and like in...
Like, legally illegal.
Well, like in, like, church music.
Oh, church music.
Yeah, it was considered, like, the devil's interval.
Oh.
But that's what makes the...
I wonder if Demi Lovato uses that in that song she had, Dancing with the Devil. You know that song that was playing the other day?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. So, yeah, the more I think about the harmony of this, I think it is in A minor, but it's just mostly in that six chord. But it always lands back on the A minor, and I think that's really the key. What you doing? Because that doesn't feel like the what you doing? That doesn't feel like the home chord.
It doesn't.
Da, da, da. That's the home chord.
Wait, so it's like, I'm playing a game.
And then,
I'm
playing a game.
Oh, yeah,
so
there it is.
That's why it feels so shocking, is because you almost never hear, like, modulations that go... like an augmented fourth away. And that's what also, so my favorite part of it harmonically is how they get from the E flat major section back to the A minor.
E flat to A minor.
Listen,
okay.
Listen to this. I'm not even going to try to play it on piano. So if you try to leave the song, I'm going to leave the song. So. Da, da. So it goes, I love that move. I just think it's like the way that they somehow make it feel so natural getting back to that chord. So, like, do you notice that the, like, the beginning of the modulation, you notice it? It feels really, like, spectacular. And the end of the modulation, you don't notice it. You just end up back in the, your home key.
Yeah.
But yeah. I notice it as a composer. I think it's really cool.
Well, you speak in music all the time, so.
I speak in music.
All right. Just how I don't
so
speak
did that
kind
of answer your question about that? About the...
Yeah, kind of, totally. Kind of. Kind of, mostly, yeah.
Yeah, sorry for all the piano noodling there. Just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I was like, you speak in music. Everyone speaks in some sort of language I don't always fully understand. Like, everyone speaks in Marvel.
Sometimes you just speak in like.
Yeah, sometimes that's me.
Like.
Like, sometimes everyone speaks in Marvel, like. Like, oh yeah, remember that guy when he, like, almost killed this guy? Like,
Speak in Marvel or speak about Marvel?
In Marvel. I'm like, who even is this Thor guy?
What's your next question?
Sorry, a little rabbit hole there of languages that are in English. So, throughout the song, sticking out most in the intro, though, you hear, like, a very, like, twinkle, like, song. Like twinkly. You know what I mean? What is that sound?
That is the Glockenspiel. The Glockenspiel.
The Glockenspiel.
Yes, it's a little metal, like, xylophone.
Oh,
type
yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Mallet.
Sorry, I blanked on that for a second. We play that in the orphan instruments at school normally, but we don't have music class in person.
Yeah.
So, I'm so sad. I remember it was like the tiny little one. Everyone wanted to get that instrument, Dad. Everyone wanted to race to that one.
So that's like sort of the hook. But then, just like all those examples I played for you before, they layer in this bell.
Yes, the Glockenspiel.
Now, the thing about the Glockenspiel is that it is so timbrally pure and piercing, it's almost impossible to not hear it. Like, you could put it way down low in the mix and you'll still hear
it. Did everyone hear that? Did everyone hear that sound?
You want to hear it on the recording?
Yeah, I'm just making sure everyone's not like, oh, out in space.
All right. Hear that?
Yup.
I love that.
You do.
Yeah. It just makes you really, like, makes your ear go right to that melody. It pulls the melody right out of the piano.
Yeah, this might be one of your favorite tunes we've done on the pod.
You know, it's just such a relief to get out of, like...
Trap beat
synth land for a little while.
Yeah.
And there's a couple songs that do that. This song, the, that really happy song by Harry Styles that you don't like so much, Treat People With Kindness.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple that get us out of that quantized one chord
land,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, I have two more questions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
I can skip them.
Let's hear them.
All right. So, number five. So when it gets to the part where, like, the duo is, like, in the falsetto range, like, ooh, I don't know. I didn't really sing that well. Like, are there, like what are the harmonies in it? And, like especially at the end of the tune, like are they just singing the same note or are they, like, harmonizing?
Let's hear the end of the tune. This...
You'll hear it in a sec.
That part?
Yeah. No, the part where they're like...
It...
So Sorry, I don't think I was. I got that right. Not at the end of the tune, but like you know what I mean.
Well, when they the go la to... la la parts are definitely in unison.
That's, yeah,
that's
I know
in
that
unison.
One. Here, can I think I know where that part is.
Here, you cue it up. I love this new setup here. Mm. Just make sure the volume's up.
Okay. Not this part, you'll hear. Tell me that you're coming. The
I think it's a third. Something like that.
You think?
Yeah. Play it again.
All right. Where is that? Sorry. Okay. Close. Okay, it's coming up. Tell me that you're coming through.
I think that's it.
You think it is? So it's a third part?
Yeah.
So like it's like D to F? No, that made no sense.
So the higher note is a C and the lower note is an A flat. Yeah, a lot of times you'll hear that, like thirds, moving thirds. That's a very common pop backing vocal technique.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
This is a really quick question. So in the video, one of the guys, who's not Anderson .Paak or Bruno Mars, just one of the guys in the ensemble, is like playing a conga really dramatically. Like, is there an actual conga or whatever that drum was in the song, or was that just done for dramatic effect?
I mean, when we were listening to the examples before, there were lots of congas.
I know there
in
were
those,
congas there,
and it would be very common to have a conga in there. Let's see.
Here, let me play it.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Should I play it from the beginning?
Move in, get it into the verse so we can okay. hear what the text
house
is.
Clean, my pool warm, just smooth like a newborn.
Huh, I don't hear any conga.
Yeah, I was like, am I missing something here? Because, like, there might be a conga.
Let's see,
like,
let's go to the playing games part.
Okay, go.
Don't hear it yet. I don't hear it. I hear it now, very lightly.
See that guy in the
on the twos and fours.
Left.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's very faint.
Very faint on the twos and fours.
And only in that part.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting? When I was looking up the credits on the song.
Yeah.
You know who's credited playing the congas?
Who?
Bruno Mars. He's not playing them in the video. He's playing the keyboard in the video, but...
He's playing the keyboard, the congas, the vocal. Like.
Yeah. So, very, very subtle.
Very subtle, only that part. So, yeah. But it's kind of hilarious, though. He's like the guy in the conga throughout the whole song. Throughout the whole song, he's like...
Yeah, he's playing it in spots that are not actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that wraps up questions for tonight.
All right, that was fun.
This afternoon.
So, what are we talking about next?
Would you like to announce it?
Surprise me. Because we have a few options in the can.
Yeah, we are talking about Teeth by 5 Seconds of Summer.
Ooh, all right, we're going rock.
Well, not kind of.
Not quite rock. It's pop, but
pop rock.
Actually, I think we're going to have to sort of examine what the genre of that song is.
Because it's 5 Seconds of Summer.
Yeah, we. It's a good
SOS. Five SOSs. Seconds of Summer.
Oh, Seconds of Summer. Okay. All right. So, I guess.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.